Tarsus, better known as Paul the Apostle. And here he writes these words, There is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to preach tonight about the dilemma that only God could solve. The dilemma that only God could solve. You know, there are some things that only God can do. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things that only God can do. And I want to preach tonight about one of the things that only God can do. You may be seated. I have mentioned in time past, I mention again, how important it is to believe Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. It is a startling beginning for the Bible when the Scripture said, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." I just like that. I mean, it's like just a flash, a beaming light, piercing thick darkness. It just burst on the scene of existence. And that's exactly what God did. This verse totally assumes the existence of God. It doesn't explain God. God doesn't need an explanation. He doesn't explain Himself to anybody. He doesn't need to. He's God. Amen. If you're God, you don't have to do a lot of explaining. He just is. Like it or lump it, take it or leave it. But He is God. And He is Creator God. The word here is Elohim. It means the sum of all eternal power. The strong one. He just is. It's used here in its plural form. It is not explaining that there's more than one God. It's just saying that it's the fullness of God. It's God in all of His full orb deity. And everything that He is and everything that only He can be. Amen. Talks about His eternality, that before all things were, the Bible said He was. Hallelujah. Now I know I've tried to figure this out with my little peanut arrangement up here, and I just blow a fuse. That's how I just get there and I go, thung. Amen. Maybe you can go deeper in that, but I can't. Amen. I've tried to figure that out, but it's too much for me. But you know what? If I could figure God out, He just wouldn't be all that deep. Amen. But He is. No matter how deep I dig, there's more God than when I started. Amen. It talks about His omnipotence, the simple fact that by Him and for Him, all things consist. Amen. It all started with Him and it all exists because of Him. The word consist means set together. God set all things together. It means exhibited. God exhibited that. God introduced that. God constituted that. God made that. It just didn't exist before except in the mind of God. We understand that concept. It's kind of like the little boy in Sunday school. Oh, he was scribbling fiercely. The Sunday school teacher said, "What are you doing, little Jimmy?" He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." The Sunday school teacher said, "Oh, nobody knows what God looks like." He said, "They will when I get through." Amen. He had confidence. Amen. Praise. But isn't that the same principle that an architect sets down to a blank piece of paper and begins out of his own mind to draw a picture of something that he conceives in his mind, and when he gets through with his conception, everybody can see it. He can hand that to a builder, and in time, his memorial will be made known to all men. That's what God did. He had it all in his mind, and he just started saying it. We didn't even know what light was, but God said, "Let there be light." Amen. Nobody knew what trees and grass and flowers were, but God said, "Let it be." And all of a sudden, the blankness of the earth was carpeted with verdant greens. Amen. And God began to separate things and create things and make things and place things. And when it was all finished after 5 days, everybody could see it. The angels were witnesses and stood in astonishment at what God had done in such a short time. Now, I know there's people that have a hard time wrapping their mind around that. If you can't believe God can create this in 6 days, then you just really can't understand God at all. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. He can do a lot more than this. I mean, this little ball that we live on here is magnificent and beautiful, and as it is, it's just one of the little things that God made. We got the telescope out there, a spaceship that's been going for, how long has Hubble been up there? Since the mid-80s? And it's still going, and it still hadn't found the edge of what God made. It's multiplied millions of miles from the earth. And guess what? There's more God than that. Amen. So we'll never be able to comprehend the magnificence of God. But just trying to understand a little bit about Him. The Bible said that His creation reveals some of Him. We see His creative power. We see some of His beauty. To me, I'm astounded at those little colored fish that you see sometimes in an aquarium somewhere. Isn't that amazing? You ever look at those little buddies? I mean, some of them, they got lights on them. Bling, 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 bling. And they're little bitty things. Who in the world would have think of making something like that? And take the time, not only to make it, but make it so beautiful. Have you ever been walking through the forest and all of a sudden there's a bird with such brilliance? It just astounds you. I saw a bluebird the other day. Then all of a sudden, it just stopped me in my tracks. I thought, wow, that's pretty. Just amazing. God made all this stuff. You know why He made it? The Bible said He made it for Himself. He lets us share it, but He made it for Himself. Oh, the things that God made, it's astounding. And it just reveals a little bit of the mind of God. The ability of God, the intricacy of God. You know, your body is a marvel. We've been studying medicine, people have for a long time, practicing medicine, they call it. Amen. And they still hadn't figured you all out. What do they call them? Vestigial organs. Did you know you had vestigial organs? That means you've got some pieces that you can do without. I'm doing without my appendix tonight. After it healed up, I'm not really missing it that I know of. Doctors say, well, it's just something left over from when you evolved from something else, and it's just something you don't need. I don't think so. Just because we can't explain why it's there doesn't mean we don't need it. Did you know that? This is true. Hang on, it's New Valentine's Day. Amen. But did you know that people used to think that the heart
was a useless organ. They thought that the seed of real feeling was in the gut. Can you imagine telling your Valentine, "I love you with all my guts"? It loses something, doesn't it? But that was true. That was true. People, as they were doing their physiology and their anatomy and trying to figure all this out, they didn't think the heart was all that important. It is. We've learned now that it really is. So we sometimes, and I don't understand this, but some people want me to toss God out and take their word for it. But it changes every day. Poor Pluto. For all these years, it was a planet. The smallest planet. And now they degrade it. It's not even a planet anymore. And yet they want me to believe everything they say. Or get an F. Isn't that amazing? We're really so limited. But God knows all along. He made things so intricately, so beautifully, so perfectly. That's just a glimpse of His majesty. Amen. God is infinite in His wisdom. Amen. Can you imagine somebody so powerful that they can just say something and it happens? Now, I know if you're a king, and you can do that to some degree. Man, you can. I did it today in a restaurant. I said, "Bring me number CS3." And seemingly out of nowhere, a piece of marinated chicken appeared on a plate with green beans and mashed potatoes. And I created that with my word. Well, I didn't create it, I ordered it. But you know what? Unless you're deluded, nobody can just say, "Let there be a chicken." And I don't believe God made the egg first. It doesn't say He made eggs. It said He made the fowls. And the fowls had eggs. Amen. So I solved that for you, see? You'll never have to worry about that again. God didn't create eggs, He created fowls. And he just made a chicken. How do you make a chicken? If you were going to make one, how would you do it? Well, I'd just go get a chicken. Because it's already been done. God did that. And we can't make anything as simple as that. God can. Talk about intelligence. He just said it. And there it was. The most magnificent, grandiose universe and the complexity of the cosmos, and God just put it all together just by speaking His word out of His thoughts. And here it all is. He not only was the architect, but He was the builder. And He did it all just with a word. It happened. Not only did it happen, but it has stayed. Continued to exist. Time has not been able to erode the handiwork of God. It's still here today. Just like He made it in the beginning. And then God said, He said, "It's good." Amen. God said, "It's good." Amen. I don't know what's good about a mosquito, but God said it's good. There's some things I'm going to ask Him of. Scorpions. What in the world is good about a scorpion? All I can figure out is it feels good when it quits hurting. I think I know why He made iguanas. Because no matter how ugly we are, you look at an iguana and you feel thankful.
God made some things, and I don't know why He made everything, but I figured out why He made a few. God made so many, so magnificent is our God. And then it comes to this. Verse 26. God's made everything. He just spoke it, and there it was. But listen to this. Verse 26, everything changes. And God said, it starts out the same. And God said, now listen, he didn't just say, and God said, let there be. He said, let us make. Everybody say, make. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. You see, everything changes suddenly. Something special is about to happen. The word image means likeness, outer form, speaking of something that is physical and visible. So God said, I'm going to make something, and He speaks of its outer attributes first. And then He said, after our image, amen, our likeness, the likeness speaks of to resemble in quality, especially speaking of a spiritual nature. So God said, I'm going to make a creature that looks like me on the outside and is like me on the inside. There's nothing else that does that. Now I know that God is a spirit, but in His mind and in His plan, He knew that one day He was going to take upon Himself a physical form. And He said, I'm going to right now create a physical form like the one that I will put upon Myself a few thousand years hence. And so God made man in His own image after His own likeness. And then listen, He said, and let them have dominion or control over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God gave man dominion. And it's pretty powerful. Have you ever been someplace like a Sea World or something like that and watched those big old, what is it, killer whales? Guy stands up there, a little bitty skinny guy, you know. Most people are skinny compared to me. And he's standing up there and he's got a fish in his hand. And all of a sudden you see this, I mean it's a huge pool bigger than this church building. And all of a sudden you watch the water as it rises up several feet, begins to splash over the side. And this magnificent black and white creature, as he creates all of that force, just by his swimming and moving his mighty muscles and his tail, and he causes such a disturbance, and he leaps out of the water. Amen. And he reaches up there and grabs the fish without getting the guy's fingers. He's smart. I'm thinking he drops it, you know, right before he gets there. And then the whale crashes back down. Oh, that's amazing. But isn't it amazing that a human being can teach a whale to do something like that, or a shark to do something like that? Isn't that amazing? Even riding a horse still amazes me. I know there's people, they can make horses do almost anything. You ever watched them? I've watched people, they can make them back up. I never rode a horse that had a reverse, but I've seen people that can do that. They can make them back up. Come on, cluck, cluck, cluck. And he just backs up, goes forward, lifts his feet up and prances around. Isn't that amazing? There's people that can actually make horses jump through loops of fire. It's amazing that they have the power. And the horse, you ever watch me with a horse that's different, he kind of does what he wants to. And I just hang on for the ride. I don't have much dominion when it comes to horses. Amen. My dogs have me trained very well. I'm not real good at that. Amen.
Of course, it may just be my dogs. I think it is. I think we have faulty, faulty dogs. Our little chihuahua was on the table one day. I had heated some lasagna. And I had it on the table getting ready to sit down and eat, and the telephone rang. And I went to get the call. This was before cell phones. And we had one of those portable jobs, and of course you never find it. And by the time I located it, answered the phone, I looked back in the kitchen or the dining room, and there was the little chihuahua poised right over my lasagna, getting ready to dig in. And then the most authoritative voice I could come up with, I said, "Cecily, you leave that alone." And she looked at me and dove in, eating just as fast as she could. Hey, man. It was as if she said, "You're going to get me, but I'm going to get all of this I can before you do." Amen. So much for dominion. But I have another dog. And all I have to do is say, "Lady." And she rolls over her back and starts kicking her little leg like, "What have I done? What have I done? What have I done?" I don't know how I got my bluff in on that one, but for the most part it works. Dominion. God gave man dominion over creatures. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And God created human beings. And I mean this sincerely tonight. People are magnificent. We talk about computers and how great computers are. But the computer's no match for your brain. Your brain, you know where computers came from? People's brains. And without somebody to feed in information, a computer can't do anything. No matter how, I don't care how powerful it is. I don't care how smart it is. You got a smartphone, you're smarter than your phone, believe it or not. I'm smarter. I can just turn mine off and it just disappears. That don't work. Put it in tea glass. It'll go. Done that too. But you're a magnificent person. You really are. That David, when he talked about how he said how that I am what is it? Magnificently made or beautifully and that one, yeah. I didn't write it down, did I? Because you're created in the image of God. Amen. Wow. Amen. Just to think that God could create something as beautiful as my wife. There's my Valentine right there. I hadn't had time to buy one, but there it is, honey. Just in case I forget. Amen. What a great God. I don't know where this is going, folks. I'm so lost now. I'll never get out. You talk about a limit only God can solve. But God created us in such magnificence and such beauty. But then came the dilemma. When man that God so greatly loved, only man could hurt God the way man did. Man's disobedience literally shattered the heart of God, broke the heart of God, disappointed God so deeply. And sin brought a dilemma. Paul writes about that, and let me hasten on here. Romans chapter 7. It's a little complicated, but it's worth the effort. He said, chapter 7, verse 14. Paul said, "For we know that the law is spiritual." He said, "But I'm carnal and sold under sin." How many would agree tonight that the law is a good thing? A good law is a good thing. Man, a good law is a good thing. But a law is just a law. That's all it is. It has no power other than to approve or condemn. That's its only That's its reason for existence. A law that is obeyed, it's made for order. The law of gravity, it's for order. God made laws, and He established laws for order. And He said, so the law is spiritual, but He said, I'm carnal. There's the conflict. I know what's right. But the problem is, even though I know what's right, to do what's right. Anybody ever had a problem with that? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't always do it. See, that's the sin dilemma. Is having the ability, no, having the knowledge, but not having the power. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Have you ever done something that you really didn't want to do? You hated to do it while you were doing it, but you did it anyway, and then hated yourself when it was over. See, that's the power of sin. I know it's wrong. And yet, He said, I had no power to stop myself. The dilemma of sin. Then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's not a cop-out. That's just a statement of fact. Sin takes over. Amen. Somebody said the same thing in a different way. They said, we are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we're sinners. We have a sin nature. Amen. I've used the illustration, and this is no reference to anybody, but you know, an animal has a nature, a pig has a nature. You can get a pig cleaned up and scrub him. Anybody ever in 4-H or FFA, and you know, you scrub the pig, and you get him, I mean, shiny clean, and get him all spiffed up and make him look good, and he's beautiful, and he goes out there and struts his stuff and try to win a ribbon. But you know what happens as soon as he gets back? He's going to find the stinkiest whatever he can find, and he's going to wallow in it. And you just hope you can get him out there before he does that, because it's his nature. He loves filth. Pigs love wallows and mud. And the more it stinks, the better they like it. Slop. What pigs like. It's their nature. It's just what pigs do. Don't blame the pig. It's just a pig. Amen. And honestly, the nature of sinners, you know, human beings, we know what's right, but we want to take the lower road. And we do. And then we write songs about it, and we make ourselves feel good about it, And we've gotten now to the place where we glorify sin and condemn anybody that tries to take the higher road. We've gotten to the place where we want to drag everybody down into the same pit. And that's the sin dilemma. Amen. Satan thought he had it all worked out. Amen. He knew that God is righteous. The very essence of God is righteousness. God hates sin. And God loves humans. God loves mankind. God loves human beings. God loves you and me. And so Satan found that he could put the sin that God hated into the man that God loved. You see the dilemma? Now what does God do? So does God then, does He learn to love the sin that He hates because it's in the man that He loves? He can't do that. But here's the thing. God already had it worked out before Satan ever devised his plan. God is not a God of reaction. He's a God of action. God already knew the answer before there ever was a question. God already had a Savior before there was ever a sin. God already had a solution before there was ever a problem. If there's a delay in your answer that you're praying for, it's not because God's trying to figure out what to do. He knew before you ever asked, and He already had an answer. But sometimes there's a lot of things God has to do, like get us in the right place at the right time so that He can answer our prayers. So God's plan then. Did God have a solution? Of course God had a solution. This didn't take Him by surprise. Amen. Revelation 13 and 8 says, amen, that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was already a sacrifice. There was already a Savior. God already had a plan made to redeem mankind. He already knew how He was going to solve the sin dilemma. Amen. Hallelujah. God could not and would not violate His righteousness. Amen. The Bible said, Hebrews, that without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Now I think often of that sight in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned. And God came in the coolness of the day. And His voice echoed through the garden. And He said, Adam, where are you? Now, that was a rhetorical question. God knew exactly where Adam was. Adam didn't know where he was. You know, when we refer to mankind as being lost, that's what we mean. Lostness is, you know where you are physically, but on the inside, there's this wandering and this void, vacancy, emptiness. Lostness. Don't know where to go. Don't know what to do. Nothing feels that. Nothing feels that. Nothing feels that. Amen. People try to fill it with all kinds of things. Smart people. Talented people. Beautiful people, successful people, wealthy people. And yet, they can't feel that void. And some of them in their very lives, lost, looking for something. Some already knowing what it is they're looking for, but not able to give up because of the hold that sin has upon their lives. So, the dilemma was that man needed something to get rid of the sin that was inside of him. And God set the price. This is the amazing thing. God said, I'm going to set the price and I am going to pay the price. God set the price of redemption so high that the devil couldn't pay it, and the demons couldn't pay it, and the angels couldn't pay it, and human beings couldn't pay it. God said the price is blood. Spirits have no blood. Demons have no blood. The devil has no blood. Human beings have blood, but you shed your blood and it's over. You can't buy anybody. You need all the blood you've got. That's the dilemma. We can't get ourselves out of this, folks. But God, who is a spirit, took upon Himself a human form. We call Him Jesus. Amen. The Bible said God was manifest or revealed in the flesh. Praise God, of Jesus Christ. And through His veins flowed perfect blood. Amen. And that blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ was spotless, sinless blood. And He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And because He and He alone was the only sinless sacrifice, God so, you know, God sets the values of things. Everybody sets values. Why is a dollar worth a dollar? Because the Treasury Department says it is. Amen. They set the value, and because they set the value, then everybody accepts it. That's what it's worth. It's worth a dollar. So I have something that I put a price on it, and it's so many dollars, and you give me so many dollars, and we can exchange. Because somebody set a value. God sets the values. God sets eternal values. And God said the sacrifice or the price for sin is sinless, perfect, pure blood. And then God created the only commodity that could pay for sin. Nobody else has it. Nobody else has it. You can't find it in hell. You can't find it on earth. You can't find it in the universe. The only place you can find the antidote and the remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was God's creation. Amen. And so God, it says it so very beautifully here in the scriptures. Let me read it to you tonight. I love this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God made Jesus to become sin for us, and He knew no sin. He became something that He was not, so that we could become something that we were not. So He became like us so that we could become like Him. Wow. Only God could solve this dilemma. Only God still can solve this dilemma. Nobody else can do it. Just God. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 said, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." You know, most people would have a hard time giving their life for a good person. But the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, in rebellion, He died for us. One of the entertainment moguls one time made the statement, he said, in all of his pride and his haughtiness, "I didn't ask Him to die for me." And sir, He died anyway. None of us ask Him to die for us. He did it just in case. Just in case. He knew that someday I was going to need a Savior. He knew that someday I was going to have enough of sin. He knew that someday I would want to remedy my sin dilemma. And He said, "If that's what you want, I'm going to make a way out of this for you." And so He gave Himself. Amen. The Bible said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled or saved by His life." Amen. You see, the beauty is that Jesus didn't come and just down the cross and it's all about death. It's all about life. Amen. Let me reinform you tonight that He's not on a cross anymore. You know, the cross is not really the greatest symbol of Christianity. It's not the greatest symbol. It became an important symbol, but it's not the greatest symbol. Amen. The cross is about his death. The death deals with your past. Amen. But thank God we're not living in the past. There's an empty tomb. Hallelujah. There's an angel shouting, "He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Hallelujah. Hey, it's not about death. It's about life. God doesn't want you to live in death. He wants you to be alive tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 to 19 said, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offenses of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience one shall, by one shall many be made righteous." Amen. Praise God. I heard Brother J.T. Pugh say one time, an illustration. Said it was like a mother on the edge of starvation walked into the grocery store. She just picked up a few items she needed. A little bread, a little meat, a little cheese, a little milk, a few eggs. Walked to the checkout counter. Checked her out. And she said, "Would you please just put on my bill. I don't have any money right now." Cashier looked at her and said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. We can't do that. You already owe so much that you'll never be able to pay." Tears in her eyes, she said, "But you've got to understand. At least milk. The baby's crying. I need something. I'm sorry, ma'am. We just can't carry you anymore." There she stood in her dilemma. She was in so much debt. And she just couldn't get any more credit. It had come that judgment day when there's no more that could be done. And suddenly, a man steps forth. He says, "Why don't you just put it on my bill? Just put it on my bill. As a matter of fact, just take whatever she owes. Put it on my bill." Cashier looked at the man, understanding his vast wealth, and said, "If that's what you want, amen." He had so much more. There was no end of his wealth. So it was not a problem. That's how God views our sin. He doesn't look just at our sin, but he looks at the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he said, "This righteousness and this blood and this sinless life is worth so much more. It's worth more than all of the sin of all men for all time. It'll reach all the way back to the sin of Adam, and it'll reach all the way to the last sin before the final judgment. And it'll cover it all. There's not a sin that any human being has committed that the blood cannot cover." That's how great the blood is. That's how God solve the sin dilemma. And only God can solve it. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. You can't pay for your own sin. What are you going to pay with? Your goodness? Amen. You know how that is. You're good one day and not so hot on another one. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you hold your temper one time, then you totally lose it the next time. Shake your head like this right here. That's right, Pastor. I know. My goodness is not good enough. I try, but I'm like Paul. I want to do right. I know what's right. I make up my mind I'm going to do right. And then I don't do right. Him, only God can solve that dilemma. But you know what He can do? God can cover your sins. And then He can put inside of you a new nature that loves righteousness and loves doing the right thing and loves praise and loves prayer. Amen. All the things that the flesh hates, He puts something in you that makes it love. That's how God solves the dilemma. Amen. That's why Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, God doesn't just put a band-aid on you. Amen. He doesn't just give you a vaccination or a shot or a pill. Instead, He puts a new nature inside of you. His nature. His nature. Amen. Makes all the difference. It's how God saw that dilemma. And only God could solve. Only God could solve the sin dilemma. Amen. Praise God. Are you thankful tonight for what God has done for you? Appreciative for His gracious gift. Amen. Nobody like Jesus. Amen. If there's a struggle going on tonight, I'm telling you right now, God has, He has solved the dilemma. There is an answer, and there's an answer right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go anywhere else. The answer is here, right now, in this house and in this place. I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Step out tonight. Let's make our way to this altar. Praise God. If you've already, God has already solved the dilemma for you, come with gratitude. If you still have a dilemma, that's fine too. Bring your doubts, your fears, your confusion. Bring it to Jesus. I promise you. Amen. He solved all that. And it can all be dissolved in one touch of His love and His mercy. We sang about it tonight. His mercy. His mercy, His mercy, His grace can all be resolved in a moment. And you can leave with perfect peace. Amen. With unspeakable joy. How about it tonight? Let's come to Jesus, would you? Make your way right now. Let's just join together here at the front of this auditorium tonight. With extended hands and with grateful hearts and with audible praise. I want you to lift up your praises tonight. I want you just to begin to praise the Lord. Amen. Would you make it audible to the Lord? Would you make it a joyful sound? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it all to Jesus. Bring it all to Jesus. Bring it all to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lay them down tonight. Here it is, Jesus. I bring it all to You. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus forgave me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Me white as snow. White as snow, white as snow, and though my sins were many, I was broken and empty, Jesus. forgave me and washed me white as snow. White as snow. White as snow. And though my sins were many, I was broken and empty. Jesus forgave me and washed me white as snow. As far as I could see, the world had just used me for love. I traded all my dignity. Now I don't have to hide, my heart is open wide. I plead, I'm white as snow. And though my sins were many, I was broken and empty. Jesus forgave me and washed me white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, and I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Thankful for the blood of Jesus. Thankful for the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength.
It will never lose
that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never.
Thank you, Jesus. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. His life for me. He made everything new. He is my everything. Friend, how about you? You are my everything. Jesus, you are my all. You are
my everything, both great and small. You gave your life for me. You made everything. You are my everything. Jesus, I love you. Oh, you are my everything. You are my all. My everything, both great and small.